Welcome into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside socially distant Scotty Borderline. Here we are in Northwest Arkansas, and we're here to talk about some great things today. Scotty, I like the mustache that you're growing out today. It looks nice.
Thanks. I shaved last night after my wife fell asleep on the couch, so she didn't find out. She didn't find out about it until this morning.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, I think she's okay with it, but you know, I waited until she fell asleep to make the move. So,
hey, grooming during this.
I think it's like slowly growing on her.
Yeah, there you go. Grooming during the pandemic, man, it's just kind of up in the air.
I think like every like probably 8 or 9 out of 10 males have probably tried to grow a mustache.
Yeah.
During this, I know my brother-in-law's done it. For sure. Like we're kind of competing.
I've done it to where I've shaved my beard, looked at myself in the mirror with a mustache and went, yeah, no. And then shaved the mustache afterwards. It's like, I just don't think I can pull that off. But yeah, grooming during the pandemic,
I haven't been as consistent shaving the last several months, obviously. And I've gotten my hair cut once, I think, since mid-February.
And it was long.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was long. It was flipping up in the back big time.
All right, well, on the Whole Hog Podcast today, we've got a great, great show. So we've got to talk about a new series that Whole Hog is putting out that I think is going to be really interesting. It's called Glory Days, and it's talking about athletes that could have gone and played at least college ball in another sport besides the one that they're playing right now, and athletes that are at the University of Arkansas. So just to give you a little tease, Treylon Burks came out on Thursday, and this is when we started the series, was on Thursday. We're going to have another story Friday. Scotty wrote the one on Treylon Burks, and I wrote one on Macy Weaver. So make sure to check out the links in the description for that, but we're going to talk about that. Then we also got news about Reggie Chaney, who we said on last Basketball Podcast, not Basketball Podcast in Mid-America, on the last Whole Hog Podcast that Chaney was transferring. He has transferred, and we'll tell you where he is going, as well as some new games have been added to the schedule for both men's and women's basketball. So we will get to all of that, but first let's start with the Glory Days series and a really interesting story about just how good of an athlete Treylon Burks is.
Yeah, so coming out of Warren, which has produced like an inordinate amount of football talent, like for a small town. In,
no joke.
In Arkansas, like Treylon Burks has got to be one of the greatest athletes to come out. I think he's one of the best athletes to come out of the state, period. And I know he's only finished his freshman year at Arkansas, but in high school, he was 2-time All-State in baseball. And then I believe he ran track. He was really good basketball player too. Obviously, we know what he did in football. I think he finished with like over 3,400 receiving yards and like 30 plus touchdowns. And he didn't play for most of his senior season. So, I mean, think about that.
Right.
Think about that. Over 3,000 receiving yards in what, 3 years, 3+ years. And so I thought it was really interesting. I was looking at his bio, you know, said that he also lettered in baseball and basketball. And so I'd start doing a Google search for Treylon Burks baseball. And so first place you go look when you're trying to find high school stats is Max Preps.
For sure.
So I go to Treylon's Max Preps page. And as a freshman, I see that he hit 381 as a freshman, drove in 5 runs in 14 games. The next season, he hit 471, drove in 25 runs. Hit 4 doubles, 4 triples, had an on-base percentage over 600. And his sophomore season, he was hit by more pitches. He got hit by 8 pitches and he struck out 7 times, which that's kind of remarkable.
Right.
Like that kind of tells you like he's a football player, and then when he gets done with football, he goes to basketball. Mm-hmm. And then when he's done with basketball, he goes straight into baseball. And the two guys that I talked to is Michael Milam, who used to be Warren's baseball coach. He's going to be the Springdale High baseball coach this next year. And Chase Brewster, who, you know, kind of runs the Arkansas Sticks travel baseball program. They both told me that, like, whatever sport that Treylon was in, he was all in on it at the time. So, like, when it's football season, dude's a receiver. He's whatever Bo Hembry needed him to be. When he was in basketball season, he was, you know, like, hustle guy, really, really good on the glass. Like his determination and want to rebound and like scrap and kind of make those hustle plays was what made him really good there. And then baseball season, like, dude, he was Chase Brewster has coached a lot of really good kids. And he said that he's one of the best. Let me find this quote. He said he's one of the best baseball players I've seen in the 5 years we've had the sticks in the last 10 years I've coached in Arkansas. And he played baseball for like 2 months a year.
Yeah.
And so like going back to the strikeouts thing, like that just kind of tells you like the level of his hand-eye coordination. Because like he doesn't pick up a baseball bat until after basketball season is over.
Right.
And so like mid-March, yeah, late
depending
March.
On how good you are in basketball, it could be almost April.
Yeah, for sure. And so just really, really interesting stuff that the guys told me. Like, so Michael Milam told me that Treylon could have played any position on the field and been really good at any position just because he was that athletic and that gifted. But based on Warren's team needs, they put him in center field. Michael Milam put him in center field. And the coach told the corner outfielders to hug the foul lines. Everything in between, like 75% of the outfield, was Treylon's.
Wow.
And Milam said, I don't remember a ball that stayed in the yard that was hit into the outfield, you know, between left center and right center. I don't remember a ball that got down. Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, he said that, you know, opposing teams would get really, really upset because they would think that they hit a ball in the gap and they got at least two bases, maybe three, and then Treylon's camped under the ball for an out. He said anything, you hit the ball in the outfield between and from left center to right center, it's an out, guaranteed.
That's just extreme talent. I mean, they say you can't teach speed, and, you know, he's just so athletic. You've seen just flashes of it on the football field and you want to see more of it. But to just show off that true power, I think one of the things that I found interesting about your story was the Genoa Central coach comes over after the game, and I think it was when Warren was playing, and he Genoa Central, and he goes, mm-hmm. "Listen, that dude out there in the outfield's a big leader." And the coach goes, "Yeah, in football."
Yeah, and then Brewster's like, if he's better in football than he is at baseball, then he's the best football player the state's ever produced.
He's just got pure athleticism. I don't know any other way to describe it besides that. And he's just highly entertaining to watch.
And one other thing that Chase Brewster kind of told me this, and he didn't really stop and like elaborate on it at first. He said, you know, I've seen Treylon do a lot of things. I've seen him like hit for power, but his average is also going to be like in the 400s. Like it was that, what was it? His sophomore year. And he can obviously, like, he can track down a fly ball, almost any fly ball in the outfield. He could, you know, he could steal bases. He also ran through a center field wall tracking down a fly ball, and he came up with it. Michael Milam said, I've seen him run into the fence several times, and not one time did he not catch the ball. And so it's like he almost lacked awareness in terms of like being close to the fence, but he was so like dead set on tracking that fly ball down that he just kind of like lost where he was and he just crashed into the fence, but he came up with the ball every time.
Like a receiver in traffic down the field, he wasn't worried about anything else but the ball. You can get locked on, which like you said, isn't necessarily always the best thing in baseball, but whenever you have that guy out there that can come down with the catch, that's huge.
So it's interesting too. Chase Brewster said that Treylon reminds him a little bit of Braylon Bishop, who is an Arkansas baseball commit from Texarkana. He's just rated the number five player in the class of 2021 by Perfect Game. No big deal. So they're similar in the way that they can kind of like take over a game in the outfield. So he said like the day Warren made the state tournament when Treylon was in high school was the first time they'd made it in 12 years. And like of the 21 outs that were made in that game, Treylon probably made 10 of them himself in center field. So that's crazy. And then, you know, Austin Ledbetter's a third baseman from Bryant, also committed to play for Arkansas baseball. He's a pretty Brewster said that he's a pretty good comparison for Treylon at the plate. You know, he hit for power and average, like I said earlier. Treylon had an offer to play for the Arkansas Sticks elite team as a 10th grader. And let me just read this list of guys. Chase Brewster said, only a handful of kids have played on that elite team as a 10th grader. The list includes Bishop, Nick Griffin from Monticello, Jaden Hill from Ashdown, who went on, he's pitching at LSU right now, and Connor Noland. So he would have been on that short list of 10th graders that would have played on that elite team.
That's wild. It's
pretty remarkable.
That's crazy.
But just because of like football, 7-on-7 stuff during the summer, basketball, just it never panned out. But he had an offer to play on that elite team his 10th and 11th grade year.
I like this series that we're doing, Glory Days, because it just adds to, you know, that these guys that we see in a Razorback uniform, they didn't specialize and they weren't just a one-trick pony. You can really see the athleticism. We kind of knew that about Treylon Burks, but just to put it in writing, you go, okay, wow, this guy is really that athletic. He's really that much of a stud just when it comes to sports. It almost came natural to this guy, and you want to see him succeed. I think it's really cool.
Both of the coaches I talked to, so Michael Milam and Chase Brewster, they both said in different ways, they were like, it's almost a shame that he was so good at football that he only focused on baseball for, you know, two months a year, maybe.
2 out of 12.
Yeah. And so Chase Brewster was pretty adamant. He was like, if he would have stuck with baseball, I mean, there's no telling. He could have probably played baseball as long as he wanted to.
Wow.
It's pretty insane because you see, like you know that Treylon Burks is like really good at football. Like that's very evident when you watch him, but he's so gifted that he was out of this world and something else too, and he chose not to do it. You know what I mean?
To be athletic in one of those, what would I give?
Yeah, no kidding. Some people just want to be average. Like they just kind of want to be average, and like that's fine with them. Like Treylon's phenomenal at football. He chose to go all in on that. He's also phenomenal at two other sports, specifically baseball. And he's just like, I just think I'm going to play football. That's
it's casual.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, continuing on in the series, I was able to talk to Macy Weaver, and it's just really funny how this entire story came about. Probably it was back in March. I was writing a story on Jaylen Mason and her comeback from surgery and what she's been doing since the quarantine happened, the pandemic. And it was really fresh. And so she's like, oh, I'm back in Nashville. I came back here hanging out with my mom and me and Macy Weaver hanging out. And I was like, wait, what? And she's like, your teammate went with you to Nashville? She's like, yes. Yeah. So does she live there? And she goes, no, she just came with me. And so I was really curious about this relationship between Jaylen and Macy. So I call the next week, I call Macy, which, you know, is kind of hilarious because they're probably both in the same room while I'm talking to
right.
her. And so I talked to Macy for a while about everything that's been going on in her life. And basically she can't get back to her house. She lives, I think, about 30 minutes south of the Wisconsin border and about an hour and a half west of Chicago in Illinois, in a town called Stillman Valley.
So she lives in like a really, really small little town in Illinois.
Yeah, it's Stillman Valley. There's only about like just over 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's my kind of town.
Yeah, Mr. Sparkman over there knows. Yeah. There are no gators though. Sorry, Scotty.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that later.
But so she's from this small town, and she's like, my car won't make it. My car just won't make it back home. She's like,
really?
It's the car troubles of, so I'm just really not excited about moving my car back there. And she's like, it's just not that great. So I just decided to go with Jaylen. And she said, and then also there's a family member that was having surgery. And so she decided to go with Jaylen. So she's hanging out with Jaylen for a while. And then she's there. And so I call her back probably a month after I talked to her first. And so I'm calling her again, talking to her a little bit more, trying to get some more information. And so I just asked a question, where are you now? And she goes, I'm in Austin.
Wow.
I went, okay? And she said, yeah, after about a month, a little over a month in Nashville, we went back to Fayetteville. Jalen had to move out of the place that she was living. So we moved out of there and we went to Austin. She said, I got family and friends that I'm staying with here. She said, so I'm changing scenery again. I'm in Austin, working out with her boyfriend there. And she said, and they're at this really cool place to where basically it's D1 athletes or athletes with professional aspirations all go. It's, can't remember, but it's started by a former Olympian. He was a pole vaulter.
Okay.
But I can't remember his name at the top of my head. But the gym is for people like that. And she's like, it's really cool to just be around those people, especially since gyms have started opening back up and you can get in there and start working out. But her story is she's got a lot of highs and lows in it. She, the main part that we focused on was the fact that she could have played probably two different sports in college. She was a volleyball player, and volleyball is really one of those things that she just did to kind of fill the time and be different, is what I gathered from her and her assistant coach in softball and basketball, Bob Mellon. He said that, yeah, she played volleyball. She probably could have gone D1 there, but he's like, that was just not the sport that she played a lot of. She started playing softball when she was really young, played softball for forever. And my favorite quote in the entire thing is, in her words, she said, yeah, I hit dingers.
Yeah, that was great when I was reading it yesterday. That was great.
I said, well, that's got to go in the story. So she was able to turn on some balls, hit them a long ways, had a rocket of a cannon for an arm. She could pick the ball up at the center field fence, one hop it into home plate. She did that multiple times. She says she had plenty of memories of gunning girls out at home. She was a catcher for a while and moved over to first base. But she had the skills, but right around whenever it was just determining, you know, that 10th grade year is when you really decide, you know, what you're kind of going to focus on in high school. She still played all three sports all the way throughout, but during the summer, she started focusing on basketball. And she's described it as she grew into her body. She kind of became more coordinated and was able to really dominate down low in the post. And so she chooses to play basketball, but she's still playing other sports during the summer. So she's playing AAU basketball. She's playing travel softball. And then people wanted her to play volleyball as well during the summer. And she's like, I just can't.
And yeah, so, you know, wear yourself out.
Yeah. So she is focusing on basketball just a little bit more and wants to go play college basketball. So she does, she commits to Wisconsin. And then after committing to Wisconsin, the coach gets fired. So she has to readjust and decide where she's going to go. She ends up picking Arkansas. But her softball coach really believes she committed to Wisconsin her junior year. So it was pretty early in the recruiting process for softball as well. And he's like, softball coaches would come up. But if you think about it, almost every single, if you're going to a high Division I school like Arkansas to play college, women's college basketball, your scholarship is going to be full. You're going to get a full ride. Like in softball, that may not be the case, to where you might get a partial scholarship. So that was one of the reasons why Macy chose basketball. And then also the softball coaches really didn't offer because she's already committed to play basketball. And they're like, listen, we can't really compete with that. So she ended up not playing college softball, but there was no doubt in their mind that she was one of the best athletes that they had seen at that small school. And then she also would play with other people.
That's pretty cool. One other thing that I liked in the story was before every basketball and softball game she played, she had like the same routine. She would walk over to her coach and she would say what?
Yeah, she'd walk over to her coach and he would stretch her out and he'd look her straight in the face. He said that they would do this before the start of the basketball game. And then before every single at-bat she'd go up for in softball, he'd look her in the face. And if he was playing softball, he'd grab her by the face mask, look at her and go, don't suck.
It's great advice.
And then walked out. And I thought that was really interesting. It was a fun story that her assistant coach, Bob Mellon, told me. And just, I mean, you grew up in a small town. So just, I guess, par for the course in a small town. Bob Mellon was the assistant basketball coach. His son was the head basketball coach. He was an assistant softball coach. And then he's also the pastor of the town.
Oh, wow.
He did it all.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I remember my my basketball coach in senior high was also the baseball coach, the track coach. I think that's all he did. And then he taught like, I think he taught like physical science or something like that, you know.
The most coached class ever to teach.
Yeah, he lived like 30 miles out of town. Because like, you're not going to, like if you're coaching at Sparkman, like you're not going to live in Sparkman unless you grew up in the town, you know. That was, yes, it's different. Our basketball coach wasn't the pastor in our town because we had so many churches.
Right.
We just had so many churches. I don't know. It's, yeah, I related to the small town thing a lot in this story. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, she's got a really interesting
story. So cool, though, that like you're 2 hours, it's such a small town, but you're 2 hours from downtown Chicago.
Right.
And you're really close to Wisconsin. That's, I mean, me growing up, I was 2 hours from
nothing,
anything, pretty much. Like I was half an hour away from a Walmart. For real. And 2 hours away from like, probably an hour and a half from Hot Springs, 2 hours from Little Rock, Benton area. You know, you'd go to the, did you ever go to the Tinseltown mm-hmm. movie theater in Benton? Yeah, mm-hmm. that's where we would go.
You had to go to Benton, Tinseltown to get a movie theater.
Yeah, I mean, it was either there or you could go to the, there was a really small movie theater in Malvern
mm-hmm.
that had two screens.
Mm-hmm.
And the movies didn't change that often. So you went to Tinseltown in Benton.
Hey, small town living. And apparently in Sparkman, if you saw on Twitter or on the news this week, they also have gators.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, coming straight up out of the Ouachita River.
There you go. Okay, Scotty, we got some other information on both of those stories, by the way. That was not the full story. I would encourage you to go check the link in the bio in the description of this podcast. Read the full story on both of those talented athletes at the University of Arkansas. We got some more news. This one's basketball scheduling. We'll start with the basketball scheduling and then move on to the Reggie Chaney news. The University of Arkansas men's basketball team is already added 4 games to their schedule, including Oral Roberts as the opener, mm-hmm. Northern Illinois in there, Abilene Christian, and Lipscomb. So now we have how many games that we know of in the non-conference?
As of right now, we know of 11 different games. So I'm just going to – so Oral Roberts is going to be the season opener. It'll be on November 10th. I believe that's the first day that games – I believe that's the first day that games can be played. So that's the season opener. And then you'll have 2 games in Las Vegas in the MGM Resorts main event. And then they'll get back from that. And as of right now, Northern Illinois is November 28th. Lipscomb will come to Bud Walton on December 5th. And then a week later, Arkansas is going to play Oklahoma and Tulsa. And then another week, and Arkansas is playing Old Dominion in North Little Rock. And then December 23rd, Arkansas will play Abilene Christian at home. And then there's still 2 games where the date is not set. So that Tulsa game on the road, which is the back end of a home and home that started last year when Tulsa came to Bud Walton. And then Arkansas is going to play UT Arlington. That game is, I think John Rothstein reported that game is going to happen. That will also be in Bud Walton Arena. It'll be the return of Jordan Phillips. Remember him?
Yeah, not much, though. He didn't play a whole lot.
That's right. I think he played in like 6 or 7 games, maybe. Averaged like a point and a half, something like that. I remember him not playing a whole lot in the beginning of the season because of, I believe it was a knee injury. And, you know, you figured, you saw him in a few games where he would get, you know, 8, 10, 12 minutes. And you'd think that, you know, he was going to start to figure it out. And then after I think it was the SEC opener at Texas A&M, like almost immediately after, like maybe the next day, he's leaving. So, yeah, he'll come back for that game. And then we've confirmed that Arkansas is going to be part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That is going to be played on January 23rd. We don't know who the opponent's going to be, but we've talked in the past. I think it's – if you look at which Big 12 teams played on the road last year,
And Arkansas played at home.
And our do a home game in the challenge this year is like Iowa State, Kansas State, Baylor, Oklahoma State.
TCU.
Yep. So probably going to be one of those five or six schools if I had to guess. So as of right now, I think we say 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 11 of the 13 non-conference games to this point. So just a couple more. And then once the SEC releases the conference schedule, we can start making predictions.
That's a scary, scary thought. On the women's side, the women's basketball team added Gonzaga, which this year finished, when the season ended, they were number 14 in the NCAA, or the AP, it was the AP poll.
Mm-hmm.
They were number 14, Arkansas finished the AP poll at number 24. If you look at their schedule, they ended up losing in the West Coast Conference tournament in the semifinals, but they were the favorite through the entire tournament, kind of like how the Gonzaga men's team is. You can draw a little bit of a parallel there between those two. But what was their record? I had it written down. They lost three games.
They were 28-3 last year. So
that's a home and home. So Arkansas, they'll come to Bud Walton Arena.
Right, and then Arkansas will go to Spokane next season.
The next season.
Yep.
Which I think that's an ideal matchup for neighbors because it's not just a huge school, but they're going to be good, and you can get that exposure, and you get to take his team out to a state that he's pretty familiar with. Now it's the complete opposite side of the state.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you can take teams out to see kind of what's going on in Gonzaga. All right.
Whatever is in the water up there in their basketball programs.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pretty good. They're able to pull in. I mean,
I think for a little while, like the men and women were both like in consideration for a one seed. Isn't that nuts?
That is crazy. What Few, right? That's his name.
Yeah, Mark Few. Yeah.
Mark Few, what he's done at Gonzaga is incredible. And he's never going to leave. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, he's probably going to get a lifetime contract like Calipari did.
I mean, that dude has built up a decent program there. He doesn't have to worry about pressure.
Oh man, they've turned into a power.
They're not gonna fire that man. And then he's also doesn't have to worry about playing, you know, if you're at Duke, you gotta worry about playing North Carolina State, Clemson. Of course, Clemson's not been very good, but
yeah, I think they try to challenge themselves like in non-conference, I think. And then I mean, obviously they've gotten so much talent, whether it's like through the transfer market or they've just landed some really good international guys. Like they can hold their own with anybody.
No doubt. It's highly entertaining to watch them play, and Mark Few's got it made in the shade. Somebody that didn't have it made in the shade at the University of Arkansas apparently was Reggie Chaney as he decided to transfer out. You like that? That was a nice little transition.
There you go.
I tried. Reggie Chaney going to Houston to play for Kelvin Sampson. Thoughts, Scotty?
Good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Houston finished last season. And like in the final AP poll, I think they were in the top 25. Like that's a really good program. I think Houston probably was looking for a little bit of size and some athleticism. You know, I was looking at their KenPom page. They didn't have many guys like over 6'6". I think Reggie could probably say 6'8", 6'9". Pretty good, really good athlete. I mean, really good situation for him. You know, I didn't particularly know where he was going to land. Like, obviously, I think the first places I was thinking about was like, who were the other finalists when he committed and signed with Arkansas? And I think it was TCU, Wichita State, some schools like that, maybe Texas A&M was in the mix too. Houston, were they in the AAC?
Yes.
It's a good program, really good program. He's going to be, you know, Kelvin Sampson is doing a really good job there. So pretty good landing spot for Reggie. Probably, I think I would say this probably about where I would expect him to land. I wasn't expecting, you know, Houston, but you know, you look at KenPom, Houston finished number 14 in the KenPom rankings, finished 23-8 last year. You know, obviously they would have been in the tournament if the tournament had been played. So, yeah, you pair him with a guard like Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes can give anybody buckets. So, yeah, I think it's just a good situation for Reggie.
All right.
Just all the way around.
All right, Scotty. Well, that'll about wrap it up. But before we leave, we can't forget about our random school of the week.
Great.
And so I got to test your knowledge. This one may not be too far out there, but I figured since Arkansas just added this school to their basketball schedule, you should figure out where they're coming from. So we'll start with the basics. Abilene Christian University is in what town?
Oh, it's in Abilene.
It is indeed in Abilene, in Abilene, Texas, which is about the middle of Texas. There's not a whole lot around there. All right, can you describe or name the conference that Abilene is in?
Oh, man, I was looking this up for the story we wrote the other day.
Should be semi-familiar.
Southland?
Yep. They are in the Southland, and then one more. Abilene Christian's mascot, Scotty.
Wildcats.
There you go.
Get your head in the game.
Get your head in the game. Their main color?
Oh, they're purple and white, I think.
They are indeed. Abilene Christian, it kind of reminds me of Stephen F. Austin, which is also in the same class or same conference as Abilene in the Southland. All right. You learned something on the Whole Hog Podcast. That way, whenever we have these things, we can always say that you learned something. All right. Anything else to add, Scotty?
I don't think so. Well, Matt's got a couple stories from the Glory Day series.
Yeah.
I don't want to give everything away, but I know he's doing a story on a pitcher on Arkansas's baseball team who is a pretty good kicker in high school. I'll say that. There's your tease. And I read the story. I think he emailed. Did he email you the story too? Yeah, so pretty fun story. I think you'll learn something from all of these stories. I know I learned some things about Traylon Burks and the other guy that I'm writing about for the two sports series that I'm not going to give away. Learned something about all these guys. So I think it's going to be a pretty fun series.
So make sure to tune in. And by tune in, I mean go to WholeHogSports.com. Follow the links in the description that we have for some of these other stories so that way you can get caught up and stay tuned for the Glory Days series. We also got some more series coming up, so subscribe to Whole Hog Sports so you don't miss a beat. And for Scotty Bordelon, Matt Jones, and our entire Whole Hog Sports crew, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.